And I pray we would have that desire in our hearts. That if we had 1,000 lives, we'd give them all to Jesus. We just feel that this one life is insufficient to truly serve Him. And this one tongue is too insufficient to praise Him. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Leviticus. Chapter 23. I didn't get a chance to get to my scriptures this morning, but I'm just adding it on some more and trust that we would find grace in His sight to help tie them together this evening. Amen. Verse 36, Leviticus 23. We can start from verse 33, I believe. Now there was 6 feasts already spoken of in this 23rd chapter. The first one was the Feast of the Passover. The second one was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The third was the Feast of the First Fruits. The fourth was the Feast of Pentecost. The fifth was the Feast of the Trumpets. The sixth was the Day of Atonement. The seventh was the Feast of Tabernacles. So we're going to read from verse 33 where it begins with the Feast of Tabernacles. That was the seventh feast. It was a type of the millennium. And it also types the seventh age. Verse 33. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, The 15th day of this 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be an holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. Seven days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day shall be an holy convocation unto you. And you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and you shall do no servile work therein. In other words, on that eighth day, you will cease from your own works. Amen. And if we are still trying to live by our own human ability, and it's not His life living in us, and if we are still depending on our own works, then it shows we cannot be in this day. Because when we enter into this day, this eighth day, we cease from our own works. And Revelation chapter 20. Now in Leviticus we had the word in a shadow. That feast speaking about a particular time. And in the book of Revelation, this book of symbols, we want to pick up that same time. Revelation 20 verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are ended, Satan shall be loose out of his prison. Now, do we all believe that 1,000 years was the millennium? That was the Feast of Tabernacles. That was the 7,000 year. And when that was ended, Satan was loose. Is to be loose from his prison. And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle. The number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. When is this happening? After the 7,000 years. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them. And they will judge every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let us pray. Almighty God, we look to you this evening, Father, as we have gathered here in your presence. We know it's good for us to be here, because you said where two or three is gathered together in your name, you are there in the midst. And surely, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit, the great Spirit of truth, the one who gave these divine revelations to your prophet, the one that opened up the seven seals in these last days, we know that he is the only divine revealer of this word. Only he can quicken it and make it alive. So we look to you this evening, that you would break the bread of life to us, and you'd make it so real, Father. There'll be not one in our presence, but that would see and understand the things that you have for us. And surely, Lord, is that we might live closer to you, that your will might be expressed in our lives. We pray that you would grant these mercies unto us. We confess that we are insufficient. Unable, O God, to bring forth anything that could be of assistance to your people. But we lift our eyes into the hills. From whence cometh our help? Our help cometh from thee, who made the heaven and the earth. So you get glory in this service, Father. And may it bring such a charge of faith in the hearts of thy children, that they'll be so tied to that absolute of your divine promise, that nothing shall ever be able to shake them away from it. Grant these things, we pray. For we believe in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you. You may have a seat. So, as we continue our subject this evening, I see a new heaven and a new earth. And this morning we were trying to set our spirits and our hearts in the right channel. So may God just take the word and pour it in there this evening, that it might become spirit and life within us. And we've been taking our inspiration out of the message of future home. And we were trying to emphasize that it was not just a message pointing us to something after the millennium, but rather it was one of those mysteries in which we can look and see the whole plan of redemption. And I was expressing the thought yesterday evening about the earth being a thought of God. That the earth existed in the mind of God before God spoke it into existence. And we were in the mind of God the same way the earth was in the mind of God. And we are only in existence here this evening because God has expressed us in a body of flesh. Amen. And we see that how the earth was in that dark and chaotic condition in the book of Genesis, in chapter 1. But we see the Spirit of God moving. And that word move, in the original translation, it means fluttered like a dove. That is why in the new creation, when Jesus Christ was standing at the Jordan, the Spirit of God descended in the form of a dove. Because Jesus represented that new creation. That word, that body that came into expression by the spoken word. Amen. He was that statue of a perfect man that God rested upon that pyramid of his life. Amen. And you know, when we look at this scripture, this future home, you may have heard Brother Billy Paul Branham give his testimony concerning it. He said when Brother Branham preached that message, and if you ever hear it on tape, he breaks down and begins to weep and cry at the end of the message. It was such an inspiration to him. Amen. And at the end of the service, when his son Billy Paul was taking him out, he said, Billy, did you understand the message this morning? And Brother Billy Paul said, he said, of the many times the prophet preached, Brother Branham spoke many things that was hard to understand. He said, but he felt that that particular morning he had caught the message. So he said, yes, Dad, I understand it. He said, you know, Brother Abraham, I have that way he could look at you. So he looked him in the eye. He said, did you really understand it, Billy? He says, no, sir. And then Brother Abraham did him like that. He said, not so much understood it. Amen. And this message of future home, I would say, it seems like it's very easy to understand. But he was really teaching the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that was his message. And he was seeing how his message was typed throughout the Bible, making plain the promise of this hour. That the believers in this age would be able by divine revelation to know what God has promised. What is God's objective? What is his purpose? What is he working to achieve? What is he really, truly trying to bring to pass in our lives? And in that particular message, we took 2 Peter chapter 3 yesterday, and we took Revelation 21. And I read for you out of the future home, where he says, Peter and John is speaking on the same subject. He said, but John don't explain it like Peter did. John just said, I see a new heaven and new earth. But Peter said, we look for a new heaven and new earth. And Peter began to give a insight as to the process that brings about the change of the earth. And Peter says, how the world that then was being overflowed with water. Speaking about the days of Noah. And he said, the world that is now. And then he says, and the world that is to come. And Peter spoke of three stages of the earth. This earth, which is God's attribute. This earth that had on its Eden beauty in the Garden of Eden. Where everything was in perfection. It was the express image of what God had in his mind concerning the earth. There was no ozone holes in Eden. There was no solar radiation heating up the earth. There was no polluted rivers in Eden. There were none of the animals fighting in Eden. The earth was not groaning and travailing in pain to be delivered from the bondage of corruption in Eden. But we see Paul saying the earth do groan. That it will be delivered from the bondage of corruption. He said, and we also groan. Waiting for the adoption, the redemption of the body. And the reason we are groaning. And the reason the earth is groaning. Because we fell from that original condition. When God made us and said, it is good. Amen. And we see that God did not leave the fallen earth in that condition. God gave them types of redemption down through the Bible. For man and his inheritance. If you study Leviticus 25. About the Jubilee. That when a man lost his inheritance. how there was a redemption for the land, or there was a redemption for a man who was a slave, that in the time of the Jubilee they will go free. And all these shadows and types of redemption in the Bible was for showing that day of redemption that was going to come. When redemption will be fully made manifest. So in order for God's mystery to be let out and to be understood, he was gradually unfolding it down through the Bible in shadows and types, slowly letting it out. Amen. You read the book of Ruth. It also talks about redemption. How Ruth was redeemed. How Naomi was redeemed. How Elimelech's inheritance was redeemed. How Boaz was the great redeemer. What was it speaking about? Boaz represented Adam. Elimelech represented Adam. He lost his inheritance. Boaz represented Christ, who could redeem Elimelech's inheritance. It showed the time that it was going to come back in the harvest time. It shows Boaz standing in the midst of the elders, doing the work of a kinsman redeemer. It showed Boaz and Ruth in Elimelech restored inheritance. What was it speaking of? Christ and the bride in the millennium. Elimelech was from Judah. And his kinsman was Boaz, the redeemer who was from Judah. The lion of Judah. Amen. Who was worthy to redeem. And Ruth was the Gentile bride. And Naomi was the 144,000. So in many places in the Bible like that, God was laying out this mystery so that in the last days, when the seven seals are opened and the seventh angel is sounding forth that mystery, he will take the scriptures and by the scripture prove to us that that day has arrived and that that promise is coming to pass. And those revelations will give the bride the expectation and the faith to come into a full redemption. Amen. And so it was that as he was opening this to us, how the earth was going to be redeemed, and Peter and them understanding these things, he could look back at the earth that was in God's thoughts, that was expressed. God brooded upon it, brought it to its perfection. Then the earth fell. It was in a fallen condition. But because it was God's original thought, hallelujah, there is redemption for all God's original thoughts. So we see God begin to move, and he baptized the earth in the days of Noah. And then in the time of Jesus, God sanctified the earth. When Jesus died on the cross and he poured his blood into the earth to pay the purchase price for its redemption, Satan offered him the kingdoms of the world, but he didn't accept it. Hallelujah! Because he wanted to redeem it completely. Amen! He wanted to bring it and give it back to the sons of God. So he spoke the promise. The meek shall inherit the earth. And when that seven seal book was opened, they begin to rejoice, saying, "Thou art worthy, because thou hast redeemed us back as kings and priests, And we shall reign on the earth. You say, well, there was in heaven. They shall be glad to be in heaven. But the earth is our inheritance. Hallelujah! So there was longing to come back to the earth. Amen. And we find out that when John was looking at the earth in Revelation 21, he did not see the earth in this condition that it is in today. Hallelujah. He didn't see no polluted atmosphere. He didn't see no war in the earth. He didn't see no politics. He didn't see no famine. He didn't see no hurricanes. He didn't see no cold winters. He said, I see a new heaven and a new earth. Something had happened to the earth to bring it back to a total deliverance, to a full complete redemption. This earth that was under the grip and power of Satan. Look, he's cutting all the trees today. He's cutting all the mountains. He polluted all the rivers. He spewed all this industrial pollution into the atmosphere. Amen. Is hell being created on the earth today? You can't walk safe in the cities. Amen. But John saw that all these kingdoms, which was under the control of Satan, hallelujah, who through his science and civilization have deformed the earth. John saw it completely loosed from the grip of Satan. Satan was nowhere wrong. He was destroyed in the lake of fire. But when John saw it, hallelujah, John saw a new heaven and a new earth. And he said, I see a new heaven and a new earth. Amen. So we see then, if the earth was baptized in water, sprinkled with the blood. Now notice in Revelation 21, John says, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Amen. Let me read a quote for you. Brother Abraham says, what is the first heaven and the first earth? He said, that's the millennium. You say the millennium, the first heaven and the first earth? When did the new heaven and new earth come? You know when it came? It came after the millennium. In the millennium, there was peace in the earth. The lion and the lion lay down together. Amen. Christ was in the earth in the millennium. Amen. Yet there was still sin in the earth. How? Revelation 20. After the 1,000 years were over, Satan gathered the nations that was in the millennium. He gathered the nations on the earth and he brought them together. What for? To make war against the beloved city, against the camp of the saints, against the camp. But what happened? Fire came out of heaven and destroyed that sin that was subject to the word, because it couldn't work during the millennium. But after the millennium, Satan had access to them. Amen. Now, I'm teaching in types. So I want you to understand that millennium, the 7,000 year, which is the seventh day, is a type of the seventh day back in Eden. Is that right? God created 6 days and rested the seventh day. He was called out of his rest when the fall took place. No man never lived a thousand years with God yet. But in the millennium, we lived 1,000 years. Amen. But because there's still time being counted in the millennium. Amen. In order to check 1,000 years, it has to be time. In order to count 1,000 years, it has to be time. Amen. It's not yet that eternity that the new heavens and the new earth is in. But we found out after the millennium and before the new heavens and new earth, the sin that is in the earth is being gathered by Satan to come against the word. Hallelujah. Do you get that? Between the millennium, between the seventh day, amen, and the new heavens and new earth, there is to be a total annihilation of sin. Hallelujah! That there will be no sin in the new earth. Glory! Where did Satan come from? Out of the bottomless pit. He came with his demons. They were all bound in the bottomless pit. Revelation 9, the bottomless pit is open also. Amen. At the end of the Pentecostal age. Amen. And what is happening? Satan is gathering all the denominations that is in the earth. To do what? Make war against the saints. Hallelujah. But Revelation 10, out of heaven comes the fire of God. God, who's a consuming fire. Because you cannot go into that new earth, that new body. The sin in your earth right now, the sin in my earth right now, cannot go into the new body. Amen. All that sin has been taken out of your soul. But there's a lost in the body still. When you want to do good, evil is present with you. When you want to do that which is right, you end up doing that which is wrong. But that sin is subject to the word. To Christ who is in you. Because it's the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Dwell in you. It shall do what? Quicken your mortal body. What does that mean? Bring it in obedience to the word. That God in the control tower of in your heart is controlling these hands, controlling them lips, controlling them eyes. Amen. Controlling them feet. Making you a written epistle read of all men. But that doesn't take away the sin in your body. Amen. We still have sin in our body. We are groaning within ourselves. Waiting for the redemption of the body. Because when that change takes place, amen, there'll be no sin in this earth. Hallelujah! But we have been baptized in water. We've been cleansed by the blood. We received the earnest of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That raised us up in heavenly places. Glory! But we don't have the new body yet. So, but between the new birth and the new body, hallelujah! Holy fire has come. What for? To burn that sin out to you. Because under this message, that sin is going to leave your earth.
If you are an elected seed, there's a change in your body coming. You say, is that so? Was Abraham and Sarah changed after the Son of Man was revealed? Amen! Then there's a promise coming of a new body. At the last trump, we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye. Hallelujah! We are already changing our soul. But the change of the soul is a process. You're changing from glory unto glory. As his righteousness is revealed from faith unto faith. Until you come back into the image of the world. But the change in your body is in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye. Hallelujah! So right now, while that word is adding word upon word, while we are being changed on the inside, this body is being turned heavenly. Sin dwelleth in us, but sin shall have no dominion over us. Sin is in our mortal body, but sin shall not reign in our mortal body. Why? Because the word has been quickened on the inside. So this body, in the third stage of redemption, the first stage was water. Have you come through the water? The second stage was the blood. Have you been cleansed by the blood? Amen. Then the next stage was the new birth. The earnest of the spirit. Bringing a birth. You're born a baby. You don't be born a man. You're born a baby. And as newborn babes, you desire the sincere milk of the word. But meat belongeth to them that are full age. When I was a child, I taught as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Hallelujah! So there's three stages of your growth. Amen. A baby, a child, and a man. Because you're growing up into the head. Who is Christ? And you're coming unto a perfect man. Unto the statue of the measure of the fullness of Christ. While we were children, we were tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, blowing from Germany, blowing from the United States, blowing from all over. All them winds of doctrine blowing in the country. Amen. And we're being tossed to and fro by the different winds, trying to hold our balance. Amen. And as long as we were a child, we differeth nothing to a servant. Hallelujah. Glory. But then we come to that fullness. We come to that full age. We come to maturity. Like the children of Israel, they was eating the manna. But when they crossed the Jordan, when they went in the land, when they begin to get ready to be placed in the position, they eat the old corn, the mature corn of the land. The diet changed. Amen. And so we see that all through the scriptures, Paul tells the Corinthians, I have many things to tell you. But you cannot bear them. Because while you are yet having divisions, and one say I am of Cephas, and one say I am of Paul, and one say I am of Peter. He said, are you not carnal? And you have, when you have divisions, he said, you are babes.
He said, I desire to feed you with meat, but I had to give you milk because you was babes. I want to tell you about predestination and election and foreknowledge and adoption. But I had to tell you when you come to church how everything should be done in decency and in order. How not to get drunk by the communion table. How to live clean and holy lives. How to have respect. That way you have to teach Corinthians. Amen. Because there was at that level. And he's trying to lift them up to a mature state. Who shall you teach knowledge? Who shall you make them understand wisdom? Them that are weaned. Any mother know what it is to wean a child? Before he's weaned, he's still nursing the milk from the mother's breast. But she don't want him to be a baby all his life. She don't want to be a big boy coming to church. And when he ought to be sitting down there in the benches listening to the word, she have to go in the back and nurse him in the cry room. It surely that person needs mental rehabilitation. If you are an adult with a child's mind, something is wrong. If you are an adult with a child's mind, it shows you are retarded. Amen. So we taught as a child. Look at Brother Branham. When he preached, why cry, speak? When he preached, why cry, speak? Amen. He said, we ought not be crying like whimpering babies. We ought to be man now. In this hour of the coming of the Lord, who know our position in the word, where we can speak the word. Amen. And he took the scripture where God rebuked Moses. When the man was crying out for God help in the time of trouble. And that was so outstanding to the prophet. To see a man praying and seeking God's help in a time of trouble. And the Bible says, consult the Lord in all things. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Call upon me in a day of trouble. Amen. It looked like Moses was doing a scriptural thing. And God said, what are you crying to me for? Speak and go forward. Amen. God was expecting him to behave like a man. And he was behaving like a baby. Paul says, in understanding, let us be men. But in malice, let us be children. Children don't hold no grudges. They fight and they fuss over things. And 2 minutes after, they hug up on the plane together. Amen. Let us be children in malice, but in understanding. Be not unwise, but be you understanding what the will of the Lord is. If we know what the will of the Lord is, we can do him the service according to his will. Amen. So let me give you this quote here. Satan's Eden, page 25. He says over in Revelation 21, he said, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, descending from God out of heaven. There was no more sea. The first heaven and the first earth was passed away. Then he asked the question, what was the first heaven? It was the millennium, he says. What was the first earth? Was this. It will be renovated. Just like it was baptized by Noah in the days of his preaching. was sanctified by Christ as he sprinkled his blood upon it and be renovated. Take all the germs and everything off of it in the renovation at the end with a fire baptism that will kill every germ, every sickness, every disease, every filth that was ever upon the earth. She will burst forth. She will come forth a new earth. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. First heaven and first earth will pass away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, descending from God out of heaven. Who is this Melchizedek? Now, if you take these messages together and you want to study it, in future home, he's dealing with a new heaven and new earth. In things that are to be, he's dealing with all the mansions that make up that city. And in who is this Melchizedek? He's dealing with the king of that city. Amen. Hallelujah. So if you put it together, then you will see what he's talking about. And page 22, he's speaking here. He said, therefore the theophany, if you have died and entered into that theophany, what happens? That theophany comes to the earth to pick up the redeemed body. And if you are here, in the air, you take the body to meet the theophany. There you are, caught up to go and meet the Lord in the air. Now we see here plainly the complete secret of our lives in journey and death and where we go after we die. Do you get what I'm saying? Or what he's saying rather? The complete secret of our lives. That's why I said the earth was in God's mind. Then the earth became express. It came into its perfection in Genesis 2. In Genesis 3, it fell. In Genesis 6, it was baptized. In Matthew 27, it was sprinkled with blood. And that is the stage the earth is at today. Amen. The earth is only sanctified. But the earth, the process of redemption, has already started. Every 2,000 years, something happens. Before the water, God sent a prophet. Before the blood, in the second 2,000 years, God sent another prophet. In the third 2,000 years, before the fire, God sent another prophet. At every junction, at every stage of the earth going through its process of redemption, God sends a prophet. Why? Something major is happening. Amen. So we see in the millennium, something will have to happen to the earth to turn it heavenly. Is that right? When you were sanctified, your next stage wasn't the new body. Was it? Your next stage was the new birth. That was only an earnest. That only turned you heavenly. You who was dead in sin and trespasses was raised up out of that filth we were living in into heavenly places. Is that right?
But then we still have sin in our earth. We still don't have the new body. We're still looking for the change. Look at the church. In the days of Luther, the church was in perfection. In the beginning, sin couldn't exist in the church. They dropped down dead. Ananias and Sapphira. For telling one lie. The head and the body were so united. When Paul was persecuting the church, he said, "Paul, Paul, why dost thou persecute me?" Amen. The Bible says the Lord went with them wherever they went. Confirming the word with signs and wonders following. Amen. Sin couldn't stand among them. The Bible says the Lord added to the church such as should be saved. It said, no man dare join himself to the apostles. During that time, they had resurrections, healings, angelic visitations, translations, they had perfect love, they had all things in common. Hallelujah! Not even sin could stand here. But then the bride fell. Is that right? Become a fallen church. And then what happened? Then God began to work towards redemption. So in the age of Luther, what does he do? He brings her through the water. And she was baptized. Under the just shall live by faith. Justification. Then sanctification under Wesley message. She came to another stage. Then did she go straight to the new body? No. It received a birth. In the Pentecostal age. That turned it heavenly. But at the end of the Pentecostal age. Revelation 10. Is to bring a full complete redemption to the earth. To the church rather. Is that right? Under this message. The shout, the voice, and the trump. The three stages of the coming of the Lord. What is going to happen? This bride will come to perfection. And will bring the resurrection. And when they appear to us. We shall be changed. Amen. So we see then. The same way the church. Has come to its stages. Which stage the church is at this evening? Are we in the Lutheran stage? Are we in the Methodist stage? Are we in the Pentecostal stage? No, we passed through them three stages already. We are under the message that is going to bring complete redemption for this church. So we realize the church is far advanced than the earth. Because the earth is only justified and sanctified. But would the earth complete its stages? Would it? It would. Because John said, I see a new heaven and new earth. Amen. So that means the earth is going to go through another stage to bring it to the millennium. What is going to bring it to the millennium? Under that sixth seal, it's going to be purified. Amen. To bring the millennium. But is that the new heaven and new earth? There's still another stage after that. According to what we read here. After the 1,000 years will finish. There was still judgment. There was to be a total annihilation of that sin. It had to be totally annihilated. When was that taking place? After the seventh age and before the new heaven and new earth. If he redeems the man by the same plan, he redeems the earth. Amen. If he redeems the church by the same plan, he redeems the earth. Then when is the total annihilation of sin to take place? It would have to be after the seventh age and before the new body. Is that right? That is plain as daylight. Then if there is unbelief among us, if there is sin that is not being burnt out, if there is unbelief in the church, and the baptism of fire was supposed to cleanse it, if there is politics in the church, the baptism of fire was supposed to cleanse it. Amen. Then what is happening? Is there a baptism of fire? Has those churches come to that spot? Has they moved into that stage? If they are in a Lutheran stage, they will just be preaching justification. If they are in a Methodist stage, all they preach is sanctification. Amen. If they are in a Pentecostal stage, then all they're doing is relying on the sensations and going by the emotional feelings. Is that right? But should the church be farther advanced than that? It ought to be in this hour. Because in this age, the individual has to go through those three stages. You say you're saying four, but you're saying four, but then you're saying three. The third stage is always divided into two phases. Let me show you what I mean. Let's look at the plan of redemption for the earth. It was baptized by water. It was sprinkled with blood and cleansed. Sanctified. But then what happened? Is to get a baptism of fire to bring it to a new heaven and new earth. It received fire under the sixth seal to turn it heavenly, but not to bring it to a new heaven and new earth. We receive a baptism of the Holy Spirit to turn us heavenly, but not enough to bring us to a new heaven and new earth. Amen. So look at the church. After the Lutheran age, the Pentecostals were baptized with the Holy Ghost, but not enough to bring them to a new heaven and new earth. It only gives a birth, and the church is born. Amen. But then the church had to grow up and come to perfection, come to adoption. Because adoption is not a baby. When the church was a baby, God gives them little gifts. Like when a baby is born. But when the church comes to adoption, we come into St. Mark 11:23. If you say to this mountain, something that cannot be impersonated, we come into the life of the gifts. We come into the person, the giver himself. Hallelujah. So then we see, for the earth, it had the millennium, and then the new heaven and new earth. Two phases of that third stage. For the church, we had the Pentecostal age,
And then the full complete redemption of the church. Where she's caught up to meet the Lord in the air. After she receives a new body. Amen. And for the individual, for the true believer, many of us sitting here have been baptized in water, sanctified by the blood, receive a new birth. Amen. Which is the earnest. Paul said we have the first fruits of the Spirit, but we were still waiting for the redemption of the body. Hallelujah. So we see for the earth, for the church, and for the believer, the individual, that third stage is always in two phases. The earnest and the fullness. The new birth and the adoption. For the earth, the new birth was the millennium. And the full redemption was the new heaven and new earth. Amen. But look what is happening to the earth between the millennium and the new heaven and new earth. The millennium was the Feast of Tabernacles. That was the seventh feast. But we found out there was an eighth day. Hallelujah. And in that eighth day, it was kept by fire. Amen. And no servile work could be done in it. But there's only 7 days in a week. And that week of creation represents the 7,000 years, the first 2,000 years, the earth was baptized. Second 2,000 years, it was sanctified. Third 2,000 years, it's going to be purified for the millennium. Is that right? The millennium is 7,000 years. But then we are going beyond the seventh day. Hallelujah! It takes us back to the beginning. It speaks of eternity. Hallelujah! It brings us back to the Sunday. Hallelujah! When the Son of Man is to be revealed again. The morrow after the Sabbath. When was Jesus raised? On the eighth day. When did the Holy Ghost come? On the eighth day. Hallelujah! So we see then, when does Revelation 10 takes place? In the eighth day! Because the seventh age was the Pentecostal age. The seventh age was the Pentecostal age. Amen! And they rejected the word and went into apostasy. And then God called us out after the seventh age in the third Exodus. He called us out of blasphemous names into the place where he placed his name. And there he's meeting with the believer. If a man comes in and tells you he's been saved in a Pentecostal church, he's deceived. Let me show you something. From 1906, when the Holy Spirit began to fall in Azusa Street, you had 3 years, and they denominated after 3 years, 1909. And 1909, a prophet that was predestined was born in the earth. 1914, the world went into war. From 1914 to 1918 was World War I. Between World War I, that prophet at the age of 7 years. Amen. Then 1933, between World War I and World War II, World War II was from 1939 to 1945. In 1933, at the Ohio River, the pillar of fire came down and says, John the Baptist forerun the first coming, so you shall forerun the second coming. From 1906, when the Holy Spirit began to fall, to 1946, was one generation. And the elected Pentecostals had died out. And Brother Branham says, Israel is back in their homeland. Because under those two wars, in that generation, they were pushed back into the homeland. And that was a sign that we were in the last generation. When the fig tree began to put forth its bud, you know that summer is nigh. And the same day, the 6-point star David flew over Palestine. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in the cave. May the 7th, 1946. And says, it's time to go on the world. Amen. And he says, at that time, the great Pentecostal leaders that was on the earth at that time, Smith Wigglesworth, Charles Price, and Amy McPherson Semple. Amen. He said the three of them died within a few days. And then he was sent out on the field. Luke 14. A servant at supper time. A servant singular. Not at breakfast time. Not lunch time. But supper time. In the evening time, a one man move at the end of the Pentecostal age. What for? To call the halt, the lame, the maim, and the blind. He said, what is that? A healing revival. One man in the evening time going for the call, a healing revival. And from 1946 to 1962, all those written mysteries in the Bible, serpent seed, water baptism, one God, no eternal hell, all these things were being revealed. Jezebel religion, hybrid religion, why am I against organized religion? Amen. What was he doing? Bringing forth those written mysteries. And by 1962, the last elected Pentecostals, his mother was one. Brother F.F. Bosworth was one. They all died before the seals could open. Amen. Because they were not to be in this age. Brother Branham was not an elect in the Pentecostal age. He was the first fruit in the bride age. We were not elected in the Pentecostal age. We were elect in the bride age. Our life is not to manifest a little gift. Our life is to display the token. When was it displayed? In the evening time. Hallelujah! So from 1906 to 1946, that one generation, the elected Pentecostals had died out. From 1946 to 1962, the last remaining ones. The last remaining ones.
Now,
the last remaining ones.
Now, when we talk about Mr. Moses,
they died also.
Now, what about Mokumba?
He said, when his mother died, he saw a vision. She was dressed like a bride. And he saw her in the vision. She was coming in a service. He was leading the songs. And he saw her. And then the voice says, she was just like she was in 1906. And he found out that the time she was married. That was the time she was married. Amen. She was part of that bride in the Pentecostal age. Brother Bosworth, an elected Pentecostal for 40 years, preached that the ministry of Jesus Christ was going to return to the earth one day. And when the moment he saw Brother Branham, he said, that is it. And he identified himself with that ministry. A man who had a great healing revival under the Pentecostal revival took his ministry and brought it in subjection to a prophet that he recognized to be the fulfillment of the scriptures. While many men was running across the world trying to build the schools, but Brother Buzzard identified himself with the ministry. Amen. And so it was when the seven seals opened, then the elect was called out. Because the first and second poll from 1946 to 1962 were signs to attract their attention. For what? To get them ready for a message. What was the message? The opening of the seven seals. What was it for? To restore all things and literally turn their heart to the children back to the faith of the fathers. The message came for preparation. The pillar of fire came for vindication. And the token was a consolation for those who had seen the message. In the messenger, being vindicated and identified himself with it. Amen. And so, when we were called out, like Israel, they were brought from all over Egypt into the only provided place. There was many houses, but only one place. That was under blood. Amen. And that to be identified with the slain lamb. Amen. Redemption was being revealed. Amen. God had made a propitiation for them. The lamb took their judgment. The lamb died in their place. So judgment had to pass them by. The penalty was paid. Death could not touch them because they had the evidence that a life was given. They had the life of the lamb to show that they were in identification with their sacrifice. Is that right? Amen. So we see then that from 1963, the prophet began to preach about a bright age. He began to preach about a bright age. I can just maybe read, I have it right here, but I just want to read maybe one or two for you. In modern events made clear by prophecy, he says, we are not living in a Pentecostal age. We are living in another age. We are not living in a Methodist age. We are living in another age. We are living on up here to the bright age. The calling out of the church and getting together for the rapture. That's the age that we are now living. To my honest opinion. That's exactly the truth. Amen. On leadership, he says, didn't Jesus say in the last days, Matthew 24:24, the two would be so close, it would deceive the elected if it was possible. Amen. Almost like the real thing in the last days. Now you see, it's wheat time now. It's getting harvest time. This is not Luther's age. This is not Pentecost age. This is the bride age. In Invisible Union, page 46, he said, we in the last days. We all know that. We are ready for the coming of the Lord. The thing to do is separate yourself from all sin. What are we speaking about? A total annihilation of all sin, so it could come to a new heaven and new earth. But when does that total annihilation of sin take place? After the seventh day, before the new heaven and new earth. Is that right? Revelation 20. Amen. And how he redeemed the earth? He redeems man the same way. Amen. And between that new birth and that new body, though sin, though you are turned heavenly, sin is still in your earth. But that sin must be totally annihilated to bring you to that new body. Between the seventh age, which is the Pentecostal age, and the last trumpet, when the bride receives a new body, at the last trump we shall all be changed. At the last trump we shall all be changed. You know what I'm quoting? 1 Corinthians 15. Amen. Between that time, the church is to receive a baptism of fire. Has it come? Revelation 10. He's coming out of heaven. Where did the fire came? Where did it come from? That brought the earth to a new heaven and new earth. During that time, Satan had gathered the nations to come and make war against the beloved city. Are we seeing Satan gathering the denominations that is in the earth? Amen. To bring a squeeze upon his bride? But when Revelation 9, when it comes to that bottomless pit with 200 million supernatural devils, Revelation 10, we see Christ coming down. Because when the enemy comes like a flood, God always raises a standard. Hallelujah! Amen. Life and death come into its final struggle. And the believer in this hour is fighting some of the greatest battles they ever fought. Because Satan is trying to take the sin in your earth. Satan is trying to take the sin in your earth. This flesh here. Amen. To come against the word inside of you. But that holy fire, that pillar of fire that anoints you, brings you to a total deliverance. Amen. So look and see when that is happening. Because after they entered into Canaan land, then the battle really started. You don't really have no real battle before you get the Holy Ghost. The real battle is after you get the Holy Ghost. Amen. Glory. So, I was quoting from Invisible Union. He said, you stay right straight in the promise of God. The word of God. And that word, if it is the word, for this age, God vindicates it so. If he doesn't, it is not the word for this day. This gospel didn't come in word only. It came in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So that our faith would not stand in the wisdom of men, causing us to lean on our own understanding. Amen. This is a day of great learning. But God showed he was the same yesterday and forever. That our faith would stand in the power of God. So the word that fell on the day of Pentecost will not work this day. No, sir. That was for Pentecost. This is the bride going home. You see, that one had to fall in the ground and die. They didn't go straight into the new body. Because it had to come after the seventh day. After the seventh feast. Amen. And so we see, he said we got something different. The Pentecostals represented that again. We are in the bride age. So I just read that for you. I know most of you should know that and believe that. But in case there was someone that didn't understand that, because from the time we begin to speak about the eighth day, you get all kind of eight messengers and all kind of different things. But what we are talking about is that eternal church age at the end of the seven seals. Because when the seven seals opened, it opened up a whole new age. Amen. It was the raptured age. Amen. You see, after the eyes, which was a seer, came after the mouth. The mouth was the Pentecostal age. Then we had a one-man scripture. Malachi 4:5. Revelation 10:7. Amen. But then we come into the intelligence. Because that eyes see those hidden things that were sealed in the word. When the light came and shone on the word. And then the fullness of the word has come back to us. He said the bride has the mind of Christ. The great secret that was in the back part of God's mind is now put in the heart of the bride. Amen. The head and the body is becoming one. What does it say? It's bringing us into the intelligence. We don't have no headship of man no more. Our headship is the word himself. Glory. So the seven seals opened up that new age where we are fully restored to the original faith. So in the statue of a perfect man, page 6, as he was bringing this message, he said, now we are approaching the seven seals. We've just finished the seven church ages. And this is a message and teaching that ties the man in. That's going to be redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus. And is going to be in that eternal church age. At the end of the seven seals. Because those who are called out under this message, If you understood what I was saying this morning about Apollos, he was not in the organizations, but he was not in the baptism of the Holy Ghost either. He was right in between, where he was calling people out to the system, proving that Jesus is the Christ, baptized with John baptism, but he had never entered into the dispensation of God in us. He had believed God with us, but he was caught up between God with us and God in us, preaching the message intellectually, because he hadn't received the new birth. He wasn't living in sin or nothing. He was not living in sin or anything. Fine moral man, but not just not taught the word more perfectly. Amen. But he said this message, this touch of a perfect man, is a message that's going to tie in the man who's been redeemed by the blood and bring him into that age at the end of the seals. Amen. And the only way you can come into that age is by being quickened by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That is why the foolish virgins, they hear the cry at midnight, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." They went out together with the wise, but they never went in with the bridegroom. But they had come out from somewhere. They had come out from them systems, but they didn't go in with the bridegroom. They was caught in between because they had no oil. Amen. And that, so they had to give their life for what they believe, because they hadn't a revelation of the position. They didn't believe the word in its fullness. Amen. That's why they had to go through the tribulation for purification. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit brings that purification right here. Hallelujah! Amen! Glory! And many are trapped right in that realm. In the message. They are virgins. They are not defiled. They're just confused. Because these false anointed ones, they can bring 99 and 9900% of the word. That is enough to confuse the foolish virgins. But the elect, they themselves are the word. Hallelujah! To them it's not just theology. To them the word has been interpreted in their own life. Hallelujah! So they know that there's a supernatural element that remains despite the revelation. Amen. But then they have a personal experience of the word that they see how that word is coming to pass in their own life. They and that word is becoming one. Because that revealed word is their bridegroom, is the mate. Hallelujah! Glory! So notice something. These stages of redemption that we are speaking of. Notice in Romans 7, Paul said we had sin in the earth. We had sin in the flesh. Sin dwelleth in us. Amen. But then he says, if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you. Amen. It will quicken your mortal body. Here the body is becoming heavenly. But the body is not yet changed into a new body. And so in the millennium, the earth is turned heavenly, but not yet the new heaven and new earth. Amen. That's why he said, what is the first heaven? The millennium. That condition that exists. And what is the first earth? This one. Amen. But then under that baptism of fire, when does it come? In the eighth day. After that seventh age. After that Feast of Tabernacles. There was another feast. A holy convocation. Kept by fire. And that fire was a symbol of God himself, who is a consuming fire. Hallelujah! Who shakes both heaven and earth. Where every man-made thing, everything that is from the fall, is shaken off. Because what the baptism of fire does for the earth, which is an attribute of God, what it does for the earth, on the eighth day, the baptism of fire does the same for you in the eighth day. At the end of the seventh age, it does the same thing for you. It's going to bring you to a new heaven and a new earth. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 65, in 2 Peter, chapter 3, in Revelation 21, is always new heaven and then new earth. Amen. Because you receive a new heaven first and then a new earth. Hallelujah. Your atmosphere, that new nature, that new soul, hallelujah, is quickened and you have a new heaven. And then you get a new body. After that new nature is formed into the image of God again. Is that right? Amen. Glory. So we see then that in this age, which is the day of full redemption, because there are no more ages. We have come through the reformer ages, which is a type of the law. It was a substitute. When the church fell, God gave them a substitute. That organization, a substitute lamb, until the full word comes back. Amen. Then we had to come out from under the schoolmaster. We had to come out from under the law. Like Moses. Moses represented the organization. Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. Was Israel journeying back to the promise? Is that right? Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers is not Canaan land. Canaan land was the land of the fathers. Canaan land was the land of the fathers. Amen. You had Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Then Joseph went down into Egypt and died. Amen. And then Exodus begins outside of Egypt, outside of Canaan land. Exodus is in Egypt. They were being born in captivity, in bondage, but they were predestinated to an inheritance. And God sent a prophet with a pillar of fire to call an exodus and bring their deliverance. And Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers is three stages of the journeying back to the promise, back to the land of the fathers. Amen. Because Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph represented Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, and Columba. And then Columba and them died. But the church began to come through three stages. Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost. Like Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. Because Numbers was when the Kadesh Barnea. When they tasted the heavenly word. They come to the borderline. But they never went into the promise. Deuteronomy means two laws. Deuteronomy is not a history. Deuteronomy is a rehearsal of what happened in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. Deuteronomy is showing those who was blotted out. Who names was blotted out of the book? Who went into idolatry? Who murmured and died in the wilderness? And Deuteronomy is also showing the 2.5 tribes, who received the inheritance in the wilderness side of Canaan. And then it showed the other tribes who was to cross Jordan and get the inheritance in Canaan land. And Joshua was the land of the fathers again. Joshua is the book of redemption. Joshua brings us back in the same land where Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph was. It's full restoration to the promises of God. It's where they were being placed positionally in the inheritance after they come through those stages of redemption. Amen? So the book of Joshua represented this day. Because Ephesians parallels Joshua. And Ephesians is a perfect man. A perfect church. Without spot or wrinkle. A perfect ministry. Amen. It is the church in heavenly places. The believers post. After the resurrection. Jesus ascended on the 40th day. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come. They waited in the upper room for 10 days. And 7 sevens are 49. 7 sabbatical weeks. Amen. And then on the morrow after the 7th Sabbath, holy fire came to baptize that church and raise it up into the realm where Jesus lived. Because Jesus lived in a world of perfect faith. He understood his position in the world. And look at Peter. He said, this is that. What Joel speak. He understood his position. He knew where his experience fitted in the world. And he identified to those people who didn't understand. Amen. Look at Jesus coming into the city on Palm Sunday. That same day, he had a revelation. He saw the colt tied. The colt, the young donkey, the foal. Amen. And when he saw it in the vision, what did he say? He said, he told to his disciples, go to a certain place. You will see a colt tied. Loose it. Amen. And bring it for me. Because the king was to go into the city. And the king was ready. And the city was there. And the king was heading to the city. But the colt was tied. And Zechariah 9 says, you daughters of Jerusalem, rejoice.
Because your king cometh unto you, riding meek and lowly on the foal of an ass. Amen. But in that hour, that donkey, which was an attribute of God, it was our original creation. Amen. That donkey had to be loosed. He said, if any man asks you anything, say the master have need of him. That donkey didn't even know his name was written in the Bible. His position was revealed in the scriptures. But in that hour, when the scripture was being fulfilled, and that donkey had to be identified with the Messiah, he had to pack the anointed word. He had to take the king into the city. He needed someone to loose him. And when was he loosed? On the 8th day. Hallelujah! And them disciples went. And they saw that man. And no doubt the man may have had a dream that somebody's going to come for that donkey. But when they tell him the master have need of it, he must let it go. Amen. So he said, where are you going with that donkey? They said, the master have need of him. Hallelujah. And so it had to be loose. Every attribute of God that is bound in that 8th day, there is going to be a loosing. Amen. Look at Lazarus. He was in the grave. He lay there for 4 days. Amen. But in that hour, there was a voice of the resurrection. The master had come. He had gathered the living bride. He had gathered the sister churches together. He had revealed himself in that place where he met with them, that he was the resurrection and the life. And when he called Lazarus, even though he was raised up, he was still bound. Amen. He couldn't raise them hands and praise God. He could open their mouth and say, thank you, Jesus. Because he's all bunged up. Some people who love to bind up the dead had bind him up. Some people who like to keep the dead in the tombs had shut them up in a tomb. An organizational grave. Hallelujah! But the master had come and he was going to call for him. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And when he came forth, he said, loose him and let him go. Hallelujah. He had to be loosed. You said, well, how did you know that it's a Sunday? Because the same voice that raised Lazarus from the grave is going to call his sleeping bride. Hallelujah. In this day. And this day is the Sunday when the Son of Man is being revealed. Amen. When our bodies to be changed? When will we put on immortality? Right now, corruption binds his body. Sickness binds his body. Amen. But that holy fire is to loose his body completely from the grip of Satan. Amen. When God had baptized the earth with water, that had washed off all the cosmos. When we were baptized with water, that removed all our cosmos, all the things of the world. But that water baptism never removed the curse that came from the fall. We still have sickness. We still have sorrow. We still have pain. Is that right? We still have thorns and thistles. Satan still rules the kingdoms of the earth. Though the earth is baptized, though the earth is sanctified, the evidence of the curse from the fall is still here. But under that baptism of fire, it removes the curse completely. There is no more sickness. There is no more sorrow. There is no more pain. There is no more crying. There is no more debt. Look at Jesus, I said. He cried at Lazarus' grave. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Amen. He had pain when they pierced him on the cross. Amen. He died. But on that Easter, on that 8th day, when the holy fire came out of heaven and shook that body back to life, it became in a glorified condition. Is that right? There was no more sickness. There was no more pain. There was no more tears. He said, I'm alive forevermore. There is no more death. Hallelujah. Glory. Something had happened to his earth. Amen. And so we know that in this hour, when that 7th seal breaks, in that 8th day, when that holy fire is coming to bring a loosing for all God's original attributes. The earth was loose on the 8th day. Jesus was loose from death on the 8th day. The Holy Ghost raised them up in the 8th day at Pentecost. Lazarus was raised in the 8th day. That colt was loosed on the 8th day. That fool of an ass. Amen. Because all God's original attributes. Jesus was the attribute of the fullness of God. That donkey was God's attribute. The earth is God's attribute. Lazarus is God's attribute. Those apostles in the upper room was God's attributes. Amen. But they all was loosed from whatever condition was holding them in captivity. And so we see that even the earth receiving that baptism of fire passes from one condition. Just let me just take this quote and close with it. You'll find at page 27 and 28 in Future Home, he's talking about that loosing, how we are being loosed from the grip of Satan. That's why I'm saying, friends, there is to be a total annihilation of sin under this baptism. It changes our thinking. It changes our affections. It changes our desires. We put on the mind of Christ. We cast down all reason and imaginations. Our affections are set on things above. It's the same man, but he's being set in a new order. Amen. It's the same earth, but is moving into a new order. Was the same donkey. It was bound up by men who didn't want him to be loosed. And they tie him up. And they restricted his mobility. And he couldn't shake his own self free. But on the 8th day, because his name was in the Bible, it was spoken of him. He was to be made manifest in that hour. He was to fulfill Zechariah 9:9. He was to pack the word into the city. He had to be loosed. Amen. And you have to be loose, because your name is in this book. And you are part of this mystery. And you have to fulfill the word of this hour. And you have to vindicate this message. Hallelujah. And God in this hour is going to loose every one of his attributes by that baptism of fire. In this day, it's no longer your own works. No more servile works. He does the work for you. He does the speaking for you. He does the thinking for you. He does the living for you. Hallelujah! It is your life living inside of you. The life I live now, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's not I that live it, but Christ that liveth in me. In that day, you will know, as I was in the Father, and the Father in me, so I in you, and you in me. Amen. Hallelujah. So under the seventh seal is a total annihilation of all unbelief. And we come to a perfect faith. Total separation from all unbelief. So we can come into a union. Complete union with Christ. Amen. Aren't you glad for that? Oh, that ought to make us happy. So what the baptism of fire does for the earth in the eighth day, it does the same for the believer under this message. Amen. May we have a new desire. And that baptism don't stop. That fire don't cease to burn until it brings that earth that was polluted and filthy and full of politics and deformed and a hideous condition. That fire don't cease to burn until it brings it to a new heaven and new earth. And there was no further stage after that baptism of fire. But after the earth was baptized in water, it still had to go on and be sprinkled with the blood of Jesus. Still had to go on and turn heavenly for the millennium. Still had to go on and become a new heaven and new earth. And if you are only baptized in water or sprinkled with blood, living a sanctified life, moral life, you still need to go on. Amen. To a new birth. And if you have the new birth and your body is being brought in a raptured condition, it's being turned heavenly. That's what he said. I'm just quoting for you. Page 15 and 16. Who is this Melchizedek? He said the body turns heavenly when it's quickened. When it's quickened. And on the Easter seal, he says it comes into a raptured condition. But there's still a law of sin. Sin is still in this earth. And if you are living in the hour, between the shout, the opening of the seven seals, and the trump of God, with the last trumpet, when the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and you shall be changed, then there must be an experience of that holy fire burning out all that sin, burning out all that politics. If politics is becoming stronger, amen. If jealousy and all kind of critical demons is polluting the atmosphere more and more, if man with all the man-made chemicals polluting the atmosphere, I'm talking spiritually. But Abraham said, we mix the chemicals of the word. And we create the atmosphere. If you want to see people heal, preach healing. You create the atmosphere for healing. You want to see people get the Holy Ghost? Preach the Holy Ghost. Create the atmosphere for it. Set the minds and the spirit in that channel that they can be brought into the experience. If you don't preach, how could it be? How could it come into manifestation? He said we have to mix the chemicals. But sometimes some people mix chemicals. And you know them big, tall smokestacks. They mix it, blow it out in their own country, and then the winds take it to other countries. Then it causes acid rain, and it destroys the trees. Amen! And all the leaves start to fall off the trees. And people started to disfellowship one another in a certain country. But is somebody chemicals is spewing out in another country? Amen. They begin to destroy the chain of life. Amen. They bring all them different fertilizers and all these different things that they mix into the food. And then people begin to eat it. And it gets into the food chain, gets into the human body, into the church body, and begin to deform the church. Amen. She's a woman, and when she's supposed to be narrow in her shoulders, she's getting broad in her shoulders, narrow in her hips. I'm saying hybrid food deform the human body. And because it's man rearranging the molecules. They're going to biotechnology. They're splicing genes. Amen. And sheep seed that is to bring forth after its kind, they mix it with a goat and they make something they call a jeep. Amen. And we have a lot of them jeeps today. Amen. Like you take a donkey and a horse and they make a mule. Hybrid religion, hybrid Christians can't take the pressures of this age. They burst into pieces. Amen. Hybrid religion. Hybrid faith. But we want to come back to original life. Original attributes. Being loosed. And being restored back to the original condition. Let us all stand to our feet. Amen. You are very wonderful people to preach to. I get preaching. And, you know, sometimes I question myself. You know, that I don't want to throw in too much and confuse you. But I trust the picture has been made plain. I was typing three things. The earth, the church, and the individual. Showing the same plan of redemption. And showing what our experiences are. Where we are placed. Amen. And what is happening. And what this message must produce in our lives. Because that holy fire will completely rid everything. We don't have to add anything, friends. This message is complete. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, Father, how we thank you. Your people just sitting here, drinking in the word, giving support with their prayers and their faith. Lord, we thank you for them. These ministers who have labored in this country, who have had to fight many battles,
had to go through many hard circumstances. But dear God, they are still standing. They may have the back parts, just like Israel did. But they are still the church of the living God. And as your prophet says, it's going to take a lot of shaking down. But Lord, we don't want to shake away from that. We want to say, shake us down, Lord. Shake what needs to be shaken off. Cut off the excess flesh. Bring a circumcision of heart. Take your coal of fire and cleanse us, Lord. Lord, may we see that heavenly vision. May we be cleansed by fire. Theology cannot cleanse us. But the fire of the baptism of the Holy Spirit may loose us from the grip of Satan. In every area in the church, in every area in their homes, in every area in their lives, wherever Satan has a grip upon the people, may the fire of God burn, Lord, and may you set them loose that they can go forth and fulfill the words spoken for this hour. Heavenly Father, may you grant it. I pray tomorrow morning you would bless them as they gather together. You would bless your servant as you would stand and speak your word. May in the other churches where they would have services, may the Spirit of the living God, oh God, it's holy fire we're talking about. You, Lord, may you burn in every heart until that pyramid is pushed up in our earth and you come down and dwell upon it. You cap it off. You be enthroned. And then your light can be seen from round about. And we would be a city on a hill that cannot be hid. We will be the light of the world. Oh God, there's a river flowing out of that throne, clear as crystal. And the tree of life is in the midst of that throne. We know you are the light, Father. You are the temple. You are that river. You are that tree of life. You are that one, Lord, the headstone of the city. The one that Abraham was looking for. That builder and maker of that city. Here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. A city whose maker and builder is God. Oh God, take these things, Lord. Make them realities and may inspire our faith that we lift our eyes to greater horizons and we'll join arm in arm, heart to heart, Lord, marching forward in the rhythm of the word, that you can lead us from victory unto victory, that there can be a total annihilation of all unbelief and we can stand with a perfect faith, showing forth your victory and the reason of your death. May you grant it, Father. We pray and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God richly bless you. If you turn the service back to the pastor.
I have to salute you again in the name of Jesus Christ. We are glad for the new arrivals. Those of you that have not been with us, Brother Sila, I've just seen him come in. I don't know from where he smelled this meeting. It must mean that the whiff of it is going too far, leader. If it could draw the whole of this country here, a cross-section of many believers, may the glory go back to God. no man is allowed to take the glory of God himself. Brother Vin himself is just a vessel that God has used. But also, all vessels used of God are precious. That's why God said in the mouth of the prophet, he demands respect for his servants. That is not a request. That is a demand. And a demand such as a holy one must be met. Or very bad consequences may befall the people. Let us respect our ministers and give them their correct praise. Of course, we cannot worship them, but we shall respect them. We shall not fear them, but we shall respect them. That is the requirement of God. Did you know something? There is a meeting of the Pentecostals going on at the Kenyatta Conference Center. And Harry Das, that Indian, Harry Das is the one who is preaching there. How many of you have ever seen Harry Das? He nearly looks like Brother Vin, if you have watched closely. The Pentecostals have a preacher, man. Have the same days of the convention. We have another Indian here. Same days of the convention, but preaching different things. One is teaching eternity. The other one is teaching what is already past. God is good. He has brought us thus far. The sum total of the matter, whatever is preached here, is that you cannot live here the way you came. If you didn't respect the wearing of rings and didn't know the meanings, now you have been told. Yes, you have been told. All those things are the others. And the others. If you didn't love the brethren, if you couldn't tolerate people that don't believe like you, now you must. Because you have heard that. So the sum total of the matter is that we can't live here the way we came. We can't make the word of God of none effect to ourselves and then continue to glory in vain glory. So blessed be the name of the Lord. When we shall have to gather here again, we shall expect to be better because we are getting better every hour. Yes, we are getting better every hour until we have reached where now we have been told. It was a hard topic. In fact, in the beginning, I don't think you could receive it. So in between, the Lord brought something else this morning to raise you to a level you could grasp the things that were to come. Now, I'm preciously persuaded that you now understand your position. As many as are perfect, let us walk therein in the stage that we have reached. There is a name I love to hear. Have to sing it well. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me, he tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me.